in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan All-Stars, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist show in the country. Now, here's your All-Star host.
It is Karen Cataline up to bat today on the Alan Nathan All-Stars. Good to have you along. I'm a commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser, and you can visit the Main Street Radio Network website to get a huge veritable treasure trove of shows that Alan Nathan has done over the years. And I encourage you to go there, www.mainstreetradionetwork.com. Well, we're going to welcome Dr. Gilda Carl. She was the host of Fox's Dr. Gilda TV show pilot, MTV's Love Doc, and TV shows on Trinity Broadcasting Network. She wrote the 30-Second Therapist column for the Today Show, the Ask Dr. Gilda column in the National Enquirer, and for Match.com. And she was the therapist in HBO's Emmy Award winner Telling Nicholas. Her latest book is Real Men Don't Go Woke. Love that title. Dr. Gilda Carl, good to have you along.
Thank you. What a pleasure to talk to you, Karen.
Yes, yes. I think we've spoken before. I recognize your voice, and you have certainly done a lot. You know, so many years ago in another life, I worked in the mental health field, and I would venture to say 97% of people in the mental health field are liberal. How'd you manage to escape that?
Well, not only have I been in the mental health field, I have also been on national television on all the major networks, because we never talked about politics. We just talked about people. And why can't we get back to that again? I do not know. There's so much anger out there, and there's so much polarization, and it's sickening to watch this. And so much of this is unfounded. So I had to write Real Men Don't Go Woke because our men are dying. The suicide rate is four times that of women. I mean, we're seeing such a diminution of men all around us. They're an endangered species. Four times more likely to die of suicide than women. Life expectancy is declining. Depression and loneliness is skyrocketing. Testosterone levels in young men plummeting. The Y chromosome is shrinking, and on and on and on. I had to write this book because women are turning to me and saying, I can't find a man. Now, it's not that they can't find a man. It's that they can't find a man with a spine.
Yeah. So the dirty little secret is that strong men want and need strong women want and need strong men.
And they're not too happy with the breed of women who are the mean girls, the feminists, the mean girls, the women who just go in to put somebody down, put them down, kick them to the curb, and they will live happily ever after. Woke women do not like men, do not like families, do not like family interactions. And they sprinkle around their favorite word, racist, every time they don't like something.
Yeah,
racist.
Or homophobe, or misogynist. Hillary Clinton, just those rolled right off her lips. And even a lot of people that are not into politics know what a hateful kind of a person Hillary really is. I got to ask you, did you ever have anybody come to you and say, I'll say it, that this war on men is absolutely deliberate? Because if you hate America and you don't want America to succeed, what are you going to do? You're going to go after the people that love and protect families. You're going to go after people who fight the wars. And if you can effeminize, you can emasculate men, you can destroy a country. Am I wrong?
I have never heard of, you're absolutely right, but I have never heard anybody question me as to, or state that this is deliberate, because I don't think they have gray matter that goes that deeply.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I see it in this way, and it's really a pleasure to talk to you, because I look at things the mental health way too. But this is your interview, but I do want to run this past you. I don't think everybody who jumps on the bandwagon is deliberate. I think that they're gullible and they're very vulnerable to social pressure. You know, they want to be liked and that's what's cool. But the truth is that introducing among the most atrocious things, like that there are 57 genders and little children can be trans, which is abusive beyond words. I think that it is a small number of people. There's like an onion, you know, and the people that are introducing these poisonous cultural ideas to a whole generation of people have it in for this country. That's how you prepare a country for Marxism, socialism, and totalitarianism, is that you soften people to the point where they will not fight back. Your turn.
Well, look what they did to the men. Men are just internalizing all this negativity. And then what are they doing? They're not fighting back. Instead, they're committing suicide. That can't go on.
Yes,
and
absolutely
right. And now it's filtering down to little boys who are taking their own lives.
Yeah.
So this can't go on.
Well, what can you say about an ideology that cheers for criminality and ignores the victims, that absolutely wants to make heroes out of criminals, rapists, robbers, and murderers, and intentionally ignores the people that they have hurt? I mean, we're talking about moral degradation here. Right?
You're absolutely right. I have no words for this. I do not understand it. I do not understand how there is a scintilla of reasoning that has gone into this. I just don't understand these people. And I ask friends, because I don't know woke people. I surround myself with people with a spine.
I
ask friends, how does this make sense? And
I think it's a cultural war.
Thing.
What do they say?
Well, yeah. You're right. You're right. It's everybody wants to be loved, and they don't find love in their own interpersonal relationships. So they go out and it's crowd love. And they think
about this
part of something.
It's also a cult. I mean, you tell me if there's very much difference between a cult like Scientology that vilifies anybody who disagrees or asks a question, and a cult that has decided that, for example, Hamas are the good guys, right? What's the difference in a cult like that? It is a religion that people have found, and that's what is so greatly concerning about the position we're in today. Go ahead.
It's horrifying. Look what they did with the Melania movie. I mean, the left said this is the worst movie. It's going to bomb. Nobody's even going to fill up the seats. And then we find, this is fascinating to me, we find that women, 83% of the people who saw this movie, who went to this movie, were women. And they were 45 years old plus. They're not the young white woke women anymore. Now suddenly they are women who think think independently, and they're not listening to the negatives. And they love the movie. The movie got rave reviews. And everybody I spoke to who has seen it absolutely adored the movie.
Great.
Now, for them, for the left to have put this movie down without ever knowing anything about it or seeing it, it should be illegal.
Yeah, I mean, but it's politics.
Until you know something. But
if it was about Michelle Obama, if it was about Michelle Obama, they would cheer it sight unseen, whether they saw it or not. So what kind of credibility do they have anyway?
Well, they don't. And this is what I found fascinating, that these women, 83% of the women, of the people who watched it, were women. I think that we have just uncovered a new voting bloc among
I love it.
This crowd. Because in the past, we had just young men carrying the torch for Trump. Now it's women.
Dr. Gilda, can you stay with us for one more segment?
Sure.
Oh, we love that. Thank you so much. We have so much more to talk about the movie, maybe even kidnapping case and what's going on there, which is the over coverage, the coverage, which is just wall to wall. I don't know. Not everybody thinks that, but maybe we'll ask Dr. Gilda about that, too. Stay with us. We will be back on the Alan Nathan All-Stars right after this.
We actually went out and surveyed hiring managers from all over the country across different industries. And what they overwhelmingly, 84% of them told us, was that high school graduates today lack the necessary skills to be successful in the workplace. So we said, well, what is it? What are they missing? And what they told us is that it's critical thinking, it's problem solving, it's the ability to work together as a team, to communicate, a basic understanding of how business operates, all the way down to personal finance.
Parents should know that the pathway to success is not linear. Many students or parents are grappling with, should my kid go directly to a four-year? Should they go to a two-year institution? Should they go into the military? Should they go directly into the workforce? And there are a lot more choices today that people are navigating. What I would say is ensure that your student is set up with the right knowledge and skills for success. For more information, you can go to uschamber.com or cb.org/career-ready.
Registered dietitian Jillian Barkum says new data reveals that diets high in protein and fiber could potentially help those on GLP-1 medications.
Atkins recently worked with researchers on a pilot clinical trial and discovered that following Atkins makes it easy to get more protein and fiber without exacerbating stomach discomfort. And while more research is warranted, there was a trend for people on Atkins to lose less muscle while losing weight, possibly due to eating more protein, slower weight loss, or other dietary factors. The Atkins High Protein Layered Bars and the Atkins High Protein Shakes are delicious ways to get the protein and fiber you need when you may not have an appetite. The bars have 15 grams of protein and fiber with soft and crispy layers and deliciously fun flavors. The shakes are packed with 30 grams of protein and 7 grams of prebiotic fiber. They're also gluten-free, low glycemic, and taste delicious.
To learn more, visit Atkins.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Alan Nathan's All-Stars. I am having Karen Kathleen with you, having a wonderful time talking to Dr. Gilda Carl, amazingly accomplished, conservative author, host of Fox's Dr. Gilda TV show, pilot the Love Doc TV shows for Trinity Broadcasting, and the author of Real Men Don't Go Broke. Thank you so much for staying with us, Dr. Gilda Carl.
It is my pleasure. Why do you think real men don't go woke for a reason? Because we want our men, I mean the normal women, the real women, want our men to have a voice, to have a spine. And woke men do not.
And let's also maybe go a step further and say, why do strong women want our men to have a voice? Because they're the sheepdogs. At least a woman wants a sheepdog. That doesn't mean we can't protect ourselves. It means if you're having a family, you want a protector, not a wimp. How about that?
Well, this is, listen, we have only to look at the news today and look at what is happening with this poor 84-year-old woman, Savannah Guthrie's mom, who has been taken, has disappeared. Nobody knows where she is. They're trying to find out who wants to be without somebody to watch out for us. We all want this, men and women.
I have a question for you about that. It's becoming an interesting question. Speaking of mental health, people are afraid to ask. I asked it on Twitter. Is anybody feeling guilty about wondering about the massive 24/7 wall-to-wall coverage of this case that seems to not have a lot of news yet? And I posited the question. I want Nancy, even though she hates Trump and she's a leftist, it does not matter because we are not the people that cheer the misfortunes of others. I want her to be found and found healthy and safe. But it just seems like there have been so many terrible crimes that have been ignored by the propaganda media, and now they're falling all over themselves and they have nothing to report. What's going on? Even Fox News, wall-to-wall coverage, putting everything else on the back burner to report on this one case. Is it celebrity? And then we're finding out one other thing I want to get your thoughts about. I don't know if this is true. I checked on it. I did some radio this morning as a guest. And they told me that Savannah Guthrie was quoting a line in The Silence of the Lambs. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
I heard that. Look, I don't know what significance any of this is, but I do know that this is a universal fear, especially for older women who are alone.
Yes.
Their husbands have died. They are totally alone, and they feel as though, unlike Nancy Guthrie, they feel as though there are not enough resources to protect them.
Yes.
And then there are not enough personnel to be there for them or even care. When police departments in some places like New York are being abandoned or being cut back, nobody cares.
Or being defunded.
So you see,
Let's defund them all.
I didn't dare say that word. That's exactly right. Well, Mom Donnie is very much in favor of defunding the police. If it were his mother, if it had been his mother, how would he feel about that?
It never would be because communists are elitists who always, it's tyranny for thee and it's anything I want to do for me.
So they never have to
put up with that sort of thing because the laws don't apply to them.
They think until one of these hobos decides to hit them on the top of their head. Then suddenly they turn around and say, wait a minute, I didn't mean that. Really?
Good point.
But they can't imagine how the rest of the people feel. So I think that this whole story about Nancy is very pertinent today, especially as women are living longer than men and women are alone a lot. And the fear of being taken, molested, raped without any consequence is very much out there. Now, why the media is covering this so much? Because Savannah is a darling of the left wing. Mm-hmm. And I have read about other people being abducted, other white women being abducted all over the United States. And there's not.
One nobody knows their name.
That's
nobody,
right.
Nobody knows their name. Yeah. Well,
so,
I mean, yes.
That's your answer.
Yeah. Well, if you get rewarded for being superficial, and making snap decisions and not wanting to go into the facts of an individual case, then this is a way to turn this into another O.J. Simpson story to get ratings.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Look, we all know what the story is on ratings. I've been in the television business for so many years. I've been on air for so many years. It's all about the ratings. I mean, you could have three heads. You can say gibberish. It doesn't make a difference. It's all about the ratings.
I wonder why Fox is doing it so much. As a matter of fact, Fox is doing it more, I understand, since I don't really watch MSNBC or whatever they're calling it now.
I don't either.
And yet Fox is going nuts with the, you know, I like Jesse Waters and I like Gutfeld. And, well, Gutfeld is not covering it, and that's why probably his ratings are going up, because if there's nothing to report, why keep reporting it anyway? You're in TV more than you know, you're in TV. I mean, that's the reason, I guess. Because if it's getting ratings, the people are going to cover it.
That's right.
Yes.
And don't forget, Fox is headed up by the Murdochs.
Yeah.
The son who's running that Fox News,
yes,
is very much a left-winger.
So is his wife.
You know,
I think their wives of the two are very left, which is unfortunate.
One of them is less left than the other, I understand. Mm. But
wow.
I can't tell you that for sure right now. Yeah. I did read that. One of them is left. One of them is less left. I don't know if that makes them right, but I don't know.
That's
much English
funny.
To figure out.
We do almost have to wrap this up. So did you see Melania? Did you love it? I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet, but lots of my friends have seen it and have loved it.
I'm telling you, everybody.
I said it here on this show.
Yes.
This is a new voting block to pay attention to.
I love it.
The right wing.
Can't wait to talk to you again. Dr. Gilda Carle, that's C-A-R-L-E. Where do people find you? Do you have a website?
Oh, yes. DrGilda.com, D-R-G-I-L-D-A. And, of course, Real Men Don't Go Woke is all over Amazon, and the book is flying off the shelf.
Oh, I love it. Good luck to you. We'll be right back on the Main Street Radio Network. Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Ethan All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline, and it is a pleasure to have you with us, and it is a pleasure to sit in this seat. If you'd like to visit me at my website, it's KarenCataline.com. That's all you got to know. Karen spelled the normal way, and no, I'm changing my name. Cataline, spelled KATALINE.com. That's all you have to know. There are episodes of this program when I do it, and lots of other things there, old op-eds that you can peruse and see how correct I was. I didn't make a lot of predictions, but I certainly ranted quite a bit. I am pleased to welcome our next guest, researcher and co-author with her severely neurologically injured autistic son, Houston, of The Book of Heaven, a story of hope for the outcasts, the broken, and those who lost faith. Katie Asher joins us right now on the Alan Ethan All-Stars. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi. Well, the name of this book clearly makes us want to hear some of the, give us a thumbnail sketch of what this book is about. It's clearly very heartfelt about your son, Houston. What's The Book of Heaven?
So The Book of Heaven it's a memoir, and it begins with my own journey, because we are all a collection of our experiences, and that's where we come to the place of faith or doubt, is from those experiences. So it was definitely began with my experiences, and with that hope that God's word was true, that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And then life happened, and that was a destructive force of so much trauma that it really rattled that faith. And included in that trauma was a severe vaccine injury of my son. And he regressed so severely, and his diagnosis was extreme. It was all the worst of the worst symptoms. The fecal smearing, the eloping, the screaming, the nakedness, the near drownings. It was all of that.
Oh my! When did when was he diagnosed? At almost birth, or did it take a while for this to for you to be able to see this and have a clear idea of what was going on?
The vaccine injury first occurred after the DTP HIB shot at age 8 months. And we ended up in the hospital.
The DTP what? Could you repeat that again? DTP what?
Sure.
Yeah.
HIB. H-I-B. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That was before they changed it to the DTAP or TDAP. That they have, the products that they have now. This was the original. It was before the acellular pertussis was changed in the formula.
Oh, we're not talking about HIV of adults, right?
No,
it's something else. Got to be something else. Okay.
HIB.
Yes. HIB. Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
So that was where we ended up in the hospital. The hematologist diagnosed him with a vaccine injury. And it's so basically the cytokine storm was so severe, it triggered an autoimmune reaction and encephalopathy that has been chronic, and that inflammation prevented him from a demyelinated motor and then prevented sensory synapses from pruning and new motor from integrating in with the synapses. That creates global apraxia.
Oh, wow. A lot of stuff there. And he seemed, was he developing normally before this? Did he have signs of normal?
He was 100% on every single scale. His pictures are, I have pictures of him before and after, and you can literally look and see the difference.
Oh, what heartbreak. And then what happened?
For 21 years, we were told that it was hopeless. And there was no hope. And it was just trauma after trauma. And obviously, severe autism affects an entire family. And that's what it did, is it destroyed our family.
Oh.
And when he was 17... I was very much in a place of despair and doubt at that point.
Yeah.
And very hopeless. And I had this one moment of a miracle. And it was that miracle, that one little moment, that gave me the hope and opened up my heart to believing that there was, that this was not the end of the story, that there was something more wonderful, that I would somehow see the good despite the severity of the bad.
Would it be giving away the book to tell us? Because you've got us on the edge of our seats.
All right. I was just waiting for you to ask. Thank you.
Okay.
So what happened was I was working three jobs at the time. Their dad had left us, and I was working three jobs. One of the jobs was at a gym, and they said, you need to go get certified to teach yoga as part of, your job here. And so I was doing that yoga certification. And in the process of that, they said we needed to give an intention, which to me, that I was like, this is ridiculous. No one cares, how hard our life is.
Airy fairy? Was it kind of seemed airy fairy to you to give
very
an intention?
Very much so. Very
okay.
much so.
All
I
right.
was like, this is ridiculous. Hmm. I was a very, I was a realist, right? And
yes.
So I gave my intention, and without being able to stop myself, the truth came out of my mouth. And I said, oh, and I would like bad things to stop happening. And they actually challenged me on that. And they said that good had just as much chance of happening as bad. And I quickly retorted, I know all about belief. You believe what you've experienced. That's what I've experienced. Why would I believe anything else? And so what they said was, everything that you see around you, whether it's a book or a chair or a pencil, anything, you know, you think that that's the real thing. But in reality, all of those things were first a thought before they were ever the material thing that we see. And that had a big impact on me. And so I really began to think about my thoughts becoming things. And I wanted something good to happen. So I really began to open myself up to just a little bit to that idea of hope. And that very week, I came home from working one of my jobs. I laid down on the couch. I was so exhausted. And my son came over and sat at my feet. Now, this was strange, okay? So what you don't know about severe autism is that they are never still. Their bodies cannot be still. He's always jumping or rocking or flapping his hands or making these booming noises or fast-forwarding, rewinding videos. I mean, it's just utter chaos. And yet he sat at my feet perfectly still without any noises or hand flapping. And he reached over and tugged at the blanket very intentionally, just like you would to get someone's attention. And he'd never done anything like that. And I opened my eyes and he was looking directly into my eyes, which he also had not done since he was an infant. And he said, Mama, I love you.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
And if you waited, if you waited 17 years to hear your child say your name and then I love you, you believe that there's hope. And it was another 5 years of me just believing and not really seeing anything else. There wasn't any change after that. It was just that one moment. And then we learned about spelling. And spelling is a way to basically coach the gross motor in someone who's non-speaking, to coach their gross motor to begin to point reliably to letters to spell out what they want to say.
Yeah.
And so I heard about this and I tried it with Houston. I was so determined. And what my son's first words that he spelled to me were in answer to the question, if you could put any slogan on a t-shirt, what would it be? And he said, I'm in here.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm so glad that you've agreed to close the show out with this with one more segment. It's short, so we want to know. I mean, boy, oh boy, do we want to know. And it's an amazing story. I can't wait to hear more about it with Katie Asher, author of the book, The Story of Hope for the Outcast. We'll be right back on the Alan Nathan All-Stars right after this. Don't go away.
Valentine's Day and romance go hand in hand, but online relationships are increasingly being exploited by scammers who turn trust into a weapon. Amy Nofziger, Senior Director of Fraud Victim Support with AARP, has more.
New AARP research shows nearly 1 in 10 adults age 50 and older have been targeted by an online romantic connection who asked for money or promoted a cryptocurrency investment. When losses occur, more than half of those affected never report what happened.
These schemes do not always start as romance. Criminals build trust through friendship or shared interests before asking for money or pitching an investment.
Shame and stigma stop many people from coming forward. These crimes can happen to anyone, and reporting is one of the most important steps in stopping criminals.
More information and resources are available at aarp.org/romancescams2026. That's aarp.org/romancescams2026.
Nearly 1 in 3 U.S. medical students are now training to become doctors of osteopathic medicine.
Dr. Robert Kane, president and CEO of the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine, shares what's driving the surge and how it's shaping patient care.
Getting a routine appointment is becoming harder for many Americans, especially outside major cities. Demand for everyday and preventive care keeps rising, and many communities don't have enough physicians. Osteopathic medical education is helping meet that need by preparing doctors through whole person care, communication, and prevention, the skills patients rely on in clinics and hospitals. Our new study shows that osteopathic medical schools strengthen local economies and train physicians who often serve rural and underserved communities. It's a proven pathway more students are choosing because it prepares them to deliver the primary and preventive care patients depend on.
Find more information at acom.org. That's AACOM.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline, wrapping up this hour with another segment with Katie Asher telling a very inspiring but heartbreaking story about her son, Houston. She's a researcher, co-author with her son on this book, The Book of Heaven, A Story of Hope for the Outcast, the Broken, and Those Who Lost Faith. We're going to try to at least wrap up this story enough to not being able to sleep tonight, not knowing how part of this ends, so we can get to the book also and how people really need to read it so they can be inspired by your story. So what happened? You actually co-wrote this book with your son. I mean, how did that happen? I know there's a lot to this that we probably don't have time for, but cut to the chase if
you
can.
Yes, all the details are for sure in the book. But
yes,
what I began to discover was that neurological injury had not diminished his intelligence in any way. It had just diminished his motor. And
wow.
So when he began sharing with me what he was actually experiencing, I found out that he was completely brilliant. And had just absolutely this reservoir of knowledge. And when I asked him, how did he know so much? Because he hadn't been given an education. He explained, he said, I can hear thoughts.
Oh.
Now, I know everyone right now is like, what? Right?
But it sounds like I see dead people.
So remember back when I had first realized, you know, that whole idea that thoughts were things, and I realized that they were, and I tested him. Of course, he was 100%. And all of these non-speakers they have these abilities, and it's because their motor didn't develop and they stayed more attached to their etheric being. So they're still connected to all of that, the etheric world that's all around us. And
etheric?
That's what it is.
Is it, what's the
etheric,
word?
Etheric, meaning spirit. Etheric.
Etheric. A-T-H-E-R. Yeah. Okay. Haven't heard that word.
E-T-H-E-R-I-C. It's like the ether.
In the ether. Okay. Got it. You know, it almost sounds a little like the scientist who lost his motor skills from ALS. Doesn't it?
Right.
A little bit?
A little bit in the fact that he did lose his motor.
And he was brilliant.
And he is brilliant. Nice. And there is that parallel in that the brain is still there, even though the motor isn't.
Right.
The difference is that these non-speakers have retained that connection to the spiritual that's all around us. And that is what is so extraordinary. And Houston began describing what he experiences. I began doing all of the research to understand this on a scientific level. But then he starts describing basically passages right out of the Bible that he had never read. And that is probably the most important part of what we experience, is that what they can see and experience verifies the word of God and roots us back into us being made by him and his love for us. And that's really what the point of the story is. It's the divine love of God.
Wow. And nothing could be more needed today, for sure.
Exactly.
Share with us, if you would, like one thing that he said that surprised you about his spiritual understanding that you could share with the audience.
Sure. There was this one day where he was so despondent and depressed. And I was like, what's going on? What's wrong? And we were at a place where he was very happy. And so I didn't understand what he could possibly have experienced that upset him. And he said, sometimes I have very good visions and sometimes, you know, a scary one. And I asked, well, what was frightening? And he described in Matthew 7, the two roads, the narrow road and the wide road. Mm-hmm. And another time he had actually seen my car accident, which I don't even know how I survived, but he had seen it before it had happened. And so then I was asking him to explain what have you seen? What have you experienced? And he described, he started describing heaven and he said, well, of course, Jesus is always healing people. And I was like, what do you mean? What's that? What do you mean? And he said, well, really? And he said, explaining heaven to you takes great elasticity, which I thought was hilarious.
Now he spells all this out, right? He can't talk.
He spells all of this out one letter at a time.
Wow.
And it's physically exhausting for him.
Huh. He doesn't type, right? Does he type?
We're working on typing, but typing is very difficult. It's the letter boards we use are big. So whenever you have a motor disability, you need a bigger target, whereas typing is a much smaller target.
I see.
And so it requires more motor control.
Huh.
But when he was describing, when he said the whole thing about it takes great elasticity, he said, well, really, it's like he replenishes them to deal with their repentance. And meanwhile, my little box that I've got God in, right, is being blown up. And so then, but everything he said, I would find a scripture to verify. And it says, like in 1 Peter 4:16, for this reason, the gospel is preached even to those who have died, that although they may not live in the body, they will live in the spirit as God does. And then it was talking about the angels of children see the face of God first. That's in the Bible. And he just over and over and over again, he described the throne of God, who described the robe of Christ.
I'm so sorry that I have to interrupt you. We have almost like such a short amount of time. And I'm sure that you've whetted our audience's appetite. Tell everybody where they can find this book, because they're going to want to read it. Go ahead.
Amazon is your fastest way to get the book. And if you don't use Amazon, you can email me at asher.house.hope@gmail.com and request a copy.
Wow, what a journey you've been on. That's just wonderful. So, her name is Katie Asher, and thank you so much for spending two segments with us. We so appreciate it. Best of luck with that book, and warmest regards to your son, Houston. We appreciate
you
so much. Take care. That does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan All-Stars. Tune in every weekday for more on the Main Street Radio Network. Be well.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.